You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel and chapter 28. And we have been taking our journey using Going and Following David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, thou art with me. I will not be afraid of evil, because thou art with me. And in doing that, the temple is going to be there. David's going to be the instrument in encouraging the temple by way of Solomon. And then the temple's going to go down. And God is going to have to go and encourage the people when everything is in unbelief. God encourages them that he would be, Isaiah chapter 8 in that he would be a sanctuary for them. So when everything is missing, God is always there. God is always there. When there's no place to hide and nowhere to run, God is there. Now, so we're looking at that sanctuary and worship, which we did on Sunday a little bit. So now, going back and trying to get that in a better perspective, if we can, and we'll try to connect the dots, if you like. So we'll connect the dots again to see where it's coming from. In Ezekiel chapter 28, you remember Lucifer, son of the morning. He's the archangel, the cherubim, etc. And he is extraordinarily equipped, like no other. So his beauty and his design and his appearance are awesome. And all angels would pay attention to that. And his position is before God. Now, if you would, picking up just a little thought to catch this, chapter 28 and verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And so here we are, a description of the Lucifer, son of the morning, and that he's perfect in beauty. So if you were to look, he is the perfection of beauty. Now, having said that, so he's awesome in appearance. And now, having looked at that and keeping that in mind, that awesomeness, slide over, if you would, his pride comes in. And we don't have to turn there, but in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in that, one of the things to warn leadership is, don't fall into the condemnation, the judgment of the devil. Don't fall into his judgment. What is that judgment? Pride. What's the chief item? Big list. 7, a proud look. Pride. Hang on, pride. So here, chapter 28, verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. So Satan, going to become Satan, the devil, is going to go and fall at Isaiah 14. He's going to fall. So his wonderful beauty, he is shining. His pride comes in and he is judged. And when God is missing, just think, if you would, of a very ornamented piece of something up here. And brilliant, so the lights shining on it reflect all over the place, the brilliance of everything. If you turn the light out, where's the brilliance gone? If you take the light out, What's the difference between a 10 carat whatever and a piece of glass? Nothing. Nothing. So Lucifer, son of the morning, fell. His pride, his beauty. And he went into, from being light into darkness. Over one other place that will help us. Over, if you would please, to Isaiah and chapter 14, as you would know. And we want to remind ourselves, his fall is because of pride. He's beautiful, beautiful. And he fell. So now, here we are looking, Isaiah chapter 14. I'll read verse 12, as we just mentioned it. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art cut down to the ground. Thou didst weaken the nations, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That means at the top of the triangle. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Here's God being honored in God the Son. And God the Son, remember way back at a kid pieces, he determined back then, he's the Lamb of God that's going to take away what? The sin of the world. Now here's Lucifer, son of the morning. I'm going to be like that. I'm going to be like that. I want his position. I want to be up where he is. Now hang on. So having said that, he wanted to be like God. So in the process now of wanting to be like God, and so he fell, and so Adam and Eve come along. And Adam and Eve are made in the image and likeness of God, and God in his wonderful grace places them and makes them. Now he makes them. I took some dirt out from the field again, and ground, Genesis 2 and verse 7. He made him from the dust of the ground. And I have the other. This is just plain old dirt, which is what I want. Now that, is that, how glorious is that? How glorious is that? Were you excited? Would you pay $1,000 for that? Pay $10. Wow. Now God, here it is. Now God, what did you do? Lucifer, you created him beautiful. And his pride killed him. Now, here's this, here you are, if you would. And God made you. Made you from the dust of the ground. And thus, the best I can do, if I can just imagine you, here you are. And here you are. And God made this, made you. Just think of yourself. Imagine you. And God made you really, really distinct. He took the ground and made you like this. That's what he did. That's awesome, isn't it? Now, what happened? Don't go away. What happened? Adam and Eve sinned. And they became like this. When Adam and Eve sinned, they went from this. They died spiritually, and they'll die eternally, separated from God. Now, that's what happened. So God and Adam and Eve repented. They repented and confessed that they were guilty without even blinking an eyeball. Now, having said that, so here we are, and death, what is death going to be? Well, death, because we're this, to start with, and because of sin, we become this, and we put this in the ground. And this here, if we could ever analyze it in an awesome way, that's where all the bodies are of people in the dirt, aren't they? The very ground, very ground. The people that die end up like this, and they end up in your tomatoes. Do you understand? That's for real. That isn't too exciting, is it? That's where we end up. We end up like this, and this becomes this. Now, I need to see that in order to get worship. Because Lucifer, son of the morning, go over with me, please, to Mark chapter 7. And I'm just tying the dots so you see them. You actually have them inch by inch, if you like, or a little better. Mark chapter 7. Because Adam and Eve sinned, you would remember God telling about our old nature, and it is. It's our nature, and we're dead in sins, which is our skeleton. Verse 18. He saith unto them, Are you without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? So there's nothing you eat, touch, taste, or smell that makes you bad. Nothing. So you don't ever say, I don't want to. Nothing does that. Nothing. That's never, sin is not. It's amoral. A tomato has no sin to it, etc. Now, having said that, where is it then? As you know, verse 20, or verse 20, 19, because it entereth not into the heart, but also into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats, foods. And he said unto them, that which cometh out of the man, from out from the inside, not going inside, verse 21, from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries, fornications, and all of that. Sliding down to verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So in that process, Adam and Eve sinned, and they have a problem because they're dying, and they're going to die, and they've got that old nature. So as much as they are going around doing and being everything that they can, they're awaiting this. Work, home, school, graduate, retire. This is waiting. This is waiting. Now, so, the heart, Adam and Eve, our heart. It's ours, us, we're the line of Adam. So we're like this. I'm trying to help you get to see the worship. Slide over, if you can, to John chapter 3. And in the Gospel of John in chapter 3, and you will notice chapter 3, may I pick up, please, in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, the judgment, which is that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. The heart's evil, and their works are evil. So who wants to have light shining on anything? We want to operate in apart from light, apart from God, because we would see ourselves as we are and going to be. So that isn't very popular, and to become this, we don't want to. That's not very, very productive encouragement to be, to keep on going and going and going. Or maybe it is, because you don't want that to happen. Now, so having said that, the heart is evil. And verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved or rebuked. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds, his works, may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we want to be able to go, and God, the human heart, is got a problem. that old nature in us, and we do not want any light. We do not want to see light. Now, in the process over to Romans chapter 1. Now, God, you created us. We shared it on Sunday a little bit, that God created us to be able, with very, very much, his heart, he died for you, died for each one of us. So he wants us to know him. Whoever you are, wherever you are on planet Earth, God wants you to know him. That's what he wants. And so God, everyone that's born since Christ died for them, God is going to make himself known, as we shared. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made public, clear, plain, inside of them. For God has showed it unto them, so God did it. So you can never say no one, because God's the one that did it. So each one of us had that experience when we were little. Verse 20, and the invisible things of him from the creation were they clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So here they are, and us humans, and we are created, and all the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful creation is there to speak of God, to speak of God's wonderful grace. What God has done, God has taken us and given us this, and without turning there now, in Psalm 139, David is going to say what? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow. Made from the dirt. Fearfully and wonderfully made. All your systems, 12 systems, etc., in your body. Awesome, 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 awesome. Functioning. Your hand. Your nose. Wow. We're fearfully made. But this isn't. No, it's what God did. What God did with that dust of the ground. He made us in his image and likeness to be able to know him. Sin came along and we lost it so that we end up with this. When we're finished, we end up in the ground. We end up dead in trespasses and sin. Now, having said that, so verse 25. Who changed human hearts, changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So what did they do? Well, humans went, and we went to worship. Now, what did the devil do? The devil wanted to honor himself. Hang on to that. That's what the devil wants, to honor himself. That's what he's going to do. I'll do two things. Over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. In our Lord's temptation in the wilderness, 40 days and nights, and the devil came along, testing him. And in the process, you'll recall, and you know it, chapter 4, verse 9, and that test, third test, say unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. What does the devil want? He's the top angel. He's the head honcho. He's the boss of all the angels. Right now, he is the God of this world, the prince, the ruler, the power, having the right and might of the air. He's the boss. He's the boss. Hang on to that. And it is. He's the head one. He's in charge of, here it is right here in verse 8. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And who do all the kingdoms belong to? Kingdoms belong to him. He's the boss. He's the boss. He's the head. He's the head. And in the process, so he wants to, in verse 9, he saith unto him, to the Lord, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. What does he want? Worship. He lost his position, and he got a whole bunch of angels that went with him, and they honor him. He's the boss. But all the good guys, they don't honor him. So what's he want to do? He wants to be the boss. He wants to sit, remember, without turning there in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. He's looking for what? To sit and enjoy the worship that God gets. He's going to get it. That's what he wants. Instead of God getting it, he wants it. That's what he wants. One worship. So hang on. Now here we are looking, God. Now here's all the churches, religions. What's so connecting here? They don't worship God. They worship gods. There's no way Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or anything else. Come on. They aren't doing that. Allah? No. There is no Allah. So you can't do that. In other words, you're approaching God and making him other than who he is. And you can't worship God for other than who he is and say it's worship when it isn't really God. You aren't identifying with God. So now, over if I can, to Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel, chapter 14. What do we know? Here's all our humans. Here we all are on planet Earth and having all our everything going on us for us. And here's the devil, the boss of all the systems, of all the religions and all the politics all over the world. And he has deceived and deception, and it's all everything except light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want. That's why we do it. We do what we do. We can call it whatever we want. Name our religions and call our heroes and whatever we want. We can do it in the dark. In the dark, you can't do it in the light. Now, God, what's the devil? Why would you're encouraging that, absolutely. For what reason? Over Ezekiel chapter 14. What do we know about all those religions and everything? And you know the answer already. Verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. In other words, they make an idol and then look at it. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Over to verse 4. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel, this is Israel, this isn't the Philistines or something, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Verse 5, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me, though they threw their idols. Sliding down to verse 7. Remember now what you're looking at, where do idols, religion come from? It comes from the heart of a human. So what's so awesome? Well, since we created, and we know that. That's for all. We Joseph Smith and Mary Baker Eddy and all of them, we did them. We know that, really. So therefore, so we did them. Now, can we hang on to them when push comes to shove? No, we can't. If the Lord were to come, and he's going to in the tribulation, or tells, beware, fear God, worship God. You're having, when you're in the presence of God, there's no way to hide from in the darkness. There's no way to cheat. There's no way to use your idolatry. God hates idolatry. You can't do that. in that. Now, so here we are looking, and here they are. So what is the human going to do? Well, we don't have anything because we created it. It's our thinking, our feeling, our interpretations of life. And we do that. Well, what are we going to do? Here comes the devil. What's the devil going to do? And you know, without turning there for time's sake, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and all nations shall worship him. What does he want? Worship. How many gods are to be worshipped? None. Only him is to be worshipped. None other. All other religions, you know, in Revelation 17, he eliminates the whole ecumenical system. He eliminates the religious system. So it's just him. And that's what's going to happen. Now why? Because we're in the dark, and we created it. We created it all, and we know it isn't. We did it. Who are we? Nobody's. What we did. Even though we have big following and lots of people, the more people you have, it seems to make it legit. That's the purpose why you get lots of people. Lots of people don't make anything true. It's either true or it isn't true. 1,000 zillion people don't make it true. It either is or it isn't true. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. God is truth. Now, so here we are, verse 7, I think. Well, I'll read it. Every one of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and entereth and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of iniquity before his face. In other words, you create it in your mind, and then put it outside so you can see it. And cometh to the prophet, or and inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. So God said, don't do this. So that's what they did. So what's the devil? The devil's going to be able to come along and be the centerpiece. And that's the whole point. All our religious system, all our worship, all our idols, religions and that, we worship whatever people do. They do it with zeal. They do it with great power in sometimes, and they'll even kill for it. They'll fight for it. They'll die for it. Religion. That's what they'll do. But the devil's going to end up with it all. Now, why? Because there's only one God and only one Savior. And he's the one to be worshipped. Romans 1 and 25. They refuse to worship God. They'd rather worship the creature, that which we create, that which is created, not the creator. Now the devil knows that. So the devil wants to, he doesn't want all those religions. All of the worship has to be what? Steered in the direction of God. He's the only God, the only Savior, and that's where it has to go. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so the devil is going to have some awesome success, to say the least, as you go down the corridor of time. And the church, which is his body, which is his temple, as you know, and God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. Now, having said that, slip over, if you can, to Hebrews, and then chapter 10. And in Hebrews in chapter 10, picking up, and you'd recall, going if I can, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some of us, of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Judgment day is coming. The Lord's coming, judgment's coming. So you want to be what? Assembling together. Don't forsake it. You don't be out there. I'm going to show that in a sec, maybe. Don't be out there because it's not going to work. That's not where the testimony is. Now, and therefore, verse 20, verse If we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, verse 26. In other words, if you aren't going to enjoy being saved properly, then what is there going to be left for you? Verse 27. But, in contrast, a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Now, God wanted to save us all and save us, and that's what he wants. But, if the human heart doesn't want to get saved, then they don't get saved. And they're going to end up in trouble. Sliding verse 31. It is a fearful thing, remember, in fear. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's no picnic. It's no thing. I'm just going to die. And oh, boy. No, sir. No, it's not so good. Not so good at all. Chapter 12. And you will notice, please, in chapter 12, picking up if I can, here's Moses looking, God looking at Moses in Mount Sinai, and going to chapter 12, verse 18. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, unto the blackness and darkness and temptness. In other words, remember God said, no one, not even a donkey. Don't let anyone cross. Here's the Mount Sinai. God put a ring around it and said, don't even let an animal cross that. If anyone crosses that, they're dead. They're dead. That's sobering. And it's awesome. Remember, they didn't want to hear. We know all these things. They didn't want to hear God what? Face to face. They don't want God face to face. No, we don't want God. We don't mind the Bible, but not face to face with God. Worship. No. No, God is God. Wow. So here we are, chapter 12. And Moses, what are you going to do? In verse 21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Moses said that. Now, Moses, you're in the other side. That's right. He said, it's that awesome. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, no, not just little. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And you never know it. Remember John the Baptist said that in his thing and going up and down the streets and everything, trying to get them to repent. And he said, listen, there's tons of ice cream places and everything in heaven, and it's easy. There's no more work. You have lots of servants to do everything for you. It's a wonderful picnic and peaceful. Remember? Did John the Baptist say that? And all the people said, yay. No, they didn't. He said, you hypocrites, you unbelievers, you're full of dead men's bones. Full of dead men's bones. He hit it. Now, so here we are looking, God, and one other place, while I'm thinking of it here, Hebrews chapter 9, in the light of all of these things. And picking up, you are familiar with it, Hebrews chapter 9. And if I may, verse 27, in the light of the context and all. And as it is appointed unto every man once to die, but after this the judgment. And you're going to be safe as can be if you're saved, because Christ took your judgment. He paid the price on the cross. But if you rejected that and you don't believe, what does the devil want? He blinds, 2 Corinthians and 4, 3 and 4. He blinds the heart of them that don't believe. That doesn't mean they don't see and think and smell and be religious up to their eyeballs. They just can't see God. They don't worship God. And they can read the Bible, but we're going to do it. We could read it and quote it and do whatever, but we don't. The reality of it is missing. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the reality of it in 2 Timothy 3. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, to 2 Corinthians. And before I do that, let me just run it right by you so that you won't miss it, to say the least. You can hold your finger in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to go, if you would, way back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. Here's the church in Corinth assembled. Assembled, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because that's what's going to happen. What did the pandemic, what is the virus, what has the conditions done? They've disconnected, disjointed the church. You say, well, all the others, it isn't a question. Where's the issue? The issue is where light is. We can leave darkness having full heyday, but if there's any light coming from anywhere, the light has to go out. Because if you were out in the ocean, where it's flat in that sense, and you have a lighthouse out there, or a ship with a big light on it, boy, you can see a long way. You can see that light. So it's only a little light, but boy, you can see it a long way. We're just to be, Philippians chapter 2, little lights. Just a little light, like a little candle. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And God, little light. But that little light can penetrate and slide and travel a great distance. So what do you got to do? Put out the lights. Don't mind darkness and zeal and religious whatever. Don't let there be light. Where does light come from? God, when God is worshipped. When God is feared. Hang on. Now, so here's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Unto the church of God, it's located in Corinth. Church belongs to God. Church is assembly, remember. Assembly of people, believers. The church, the assembly of God, which is in Corinth, and here we are, us little guys here. In them that are sanctified, set apart, in Christ Jesus, that's where we're set apart, we're called saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, the church is a set apart thing, and keep going over to chapter 3. And this is in the plural, by the way, here. And in chapter 3 and verse 16, know you not to the church in Corinth that you are the temple of God? So we don't go to a sanctuary. We don't go to worship. In fact, you'll see it. Of all the words for worship, the word for worship in the New Testament, it's never used of the church. They're never told to worship. Why is that? What do you mean they're never told? No. Not like the Old Testament. They came and stood before God and like Mount Sinai and whoa, wow. No. Because you see, they're new creatures. They aren't looking at creation. They're brand new creatures in Christ. In Christ. He is. And therefore, they are what? As you know, verse chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple of the Lord, and that the Spirit of the Lord dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of the Lord God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. That's what you are. So, well, we don't know. What are we doing? We're smack dab in the middle of God. So we don't have to, we're supposed to understand our unique possession to represent him to the world who doesn't believe. They love darkness. So we're being a light. Chapter 6, as you know, verse 19. What know you not that the Holy Ghost, what know you not that that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Chapter 6, verse 19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, that's right, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. So we have a unique relationship to God, an awesome relationship to God. Oh, back over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 6, where your finger is. 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. And again, we did it, say it again, verse 60. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. We are. We're his sanctuary. We're his building. That's what we are. Where do I go to worship? I don't go anywhere. I'm in the middle of him. So are you if you're saved. Now, having said that, where's my man? Okay, here we are. Don't go away. Now, I'm going to go, and you won't see this really. This guy is going to believe, and he's going to believe the Lord is a Savior. And you're using your imagination. This Christ saves him. Makes him a new creature in Christ. Got that? So here he is. In the same breath, he's this. But he's this. When he received the Lord as a Savior, God did a wonderful thing. Now, so as he's going around, he probably will show too much of this in our old nature. But as we look to God and walk, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley, yea, though I walk in the valley of darkness. So here we are, going to trust God as believers. We know we're like this. And God's going to, we aren't trying to save this. No, we aren't trying to save this. What do we know about this? 1 Corinthians 15. Flesh and blood can what? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this isn't going to go anywhere, as wonderful as it is, with all of its ills and aches. So therefore, God, here we are, and we're there, and here we are. And we go to work, we go to school, and we home, we do the dishes, we do everything. You got it? Now, are you impressed with this? It's real. Christ in you. I'm going back, and you hang on to it, you know it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. We are the assembly of God in Middletown. Everyone has the location. We're the little guys in Middletown. Here we are. And with that, okay, and we're little. Now, so here you come. You come in, if you're saved, hopefully. And you come in, and you're saved. Now that, out here in the street, work, home, school, this is real, but you have to make sure you're trusting God to outwork his wonderful grace, and you walk with God, fear and trembling, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and you're going to do this. So you go around and you show you're trusting God to save you in a most wonderful way, on a 24-hour day basis, 7 days a week, and you're fearing God. When you fear God, that is the greatest testimony you have, because you're on it. What are you doing? You're recognizing God as God. You're recognizing he's the only God and he's the only Savior. Now, having done that, here we are. Now, he's going to go. Now, when he goes, when the assembly meets, wherever it is, this belongs to this. Now you can't see it here, But when the church comes together, it is the body of Christ. You understand? And what you can't spot in my life, when we are gathered together, this is what it is. The wonderful person of Jesus Christ. And when we're, believers are all together, this is what you're doing. You can't do it at home. You can't do it in the workplace. You're this for sure. But you can't do this only in the assembly. When you're gathered together, that's when this shows up. Do you understand? It doesn't show up any other. Read it. And you know, we'll close with that, but I hope you got, are you getting a little bit? It isn't hard. But man, what's wrong? I got to go to church. Well, you betcha. If you don't understand this, then you're out there trying to be whatever and hope I'm being a testimony and whatever. And this is where the testimony is. And it isn't about you. It's about God in his fullness. That's what he's going to do. Revelation 2:1, you know, he's walking present tense up and down the aisle in the assembly of the believers. Here he is. Where? Not in the ball game. Ball game's good, but not there. It's here where you come together. That's why you come together, to show this. You're this, but this has to be in here. Do you understand? In closing, you already know it, and I hope you got a little bit. Don't go away. Over to, what did I say? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, as you know, back over, we said it the other day, we say it again and again, and it'll click with a flower, I hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, sliding right along if I can for time's sake, verse 24. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or is unlearned, he is out convinced of all, he is judged of all. How is that? And thus are the seed. That doesn't mean everyone's picking on him. On the contrary, you're going to treat him. He come in assembly, you're going to treat him properly, whoever they are, except they're going to be bad guys, do something. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship you. But it doesn't say worship you. He came in and he found God with you. He found God. And that's who he worships. You understand? That's who he worships. I'll finish it. And report, he's going out in the street, that God is in you of a truth. What does John chapter 4 say? To worship, I want people to worship me in spirit and in truth. We are the pillar and ground of truth, the church is. That's who we are. So when they come in, they're going to come, and you, among us and with us, God of a truth. Not because, and I know, I can't even get in. And have you heard the awesome repeated comments? Oh, there's so many hypocrites in the church. You ever hear that? And they're absolutely right. There's lots of hypocrites in the church. You betcha. I wish it wasn't true. But know what? This is still true. Hypocrites are no hypocrites. And if they're going to come and be, then among the hypocrites, let us be believers. How's that come out? I gotta quit. Appreciate your patience. And I want you just to be encouraged. Everyone be encouraged.